What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber along with Jim Cramer. Carl Quintanilla has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures a half hour before we get started with trading right here at the New York Stock Exchange and everywhere else. You can see we are looking for an up open. That was the case yesterday.
Yeah, and then well, things something became... we like to do. We like to lose money for people by having the market open up, get them in, and then have their head cut off. Yeah, it's bear market. You know, it's the bear market way. We've been through some bear markets.
Yes, we have. And yesterday, to Jim's point, the NASDAQ ended down and down fairly substantially.
Yeah, can I just say that I got some people out. I get people out every day of the NASDAQ. Well, it doesn't matter.
I got to get to the roadmap. Then you can start talking.
Well, the roadmap.
I got to tell people what's coming up in the show.
I'm in a darn rest stop.
We're going to start with the crude crumble. That's what we're calling it here.
Oil price. Will you stop?
Well, I don't know. Our producers crude wrote that. Crumble. Read it. $95 a barrel. Ukraine hopes, and hopes at least for a peace there. I don't know what they're
now
based
that's
on. And China's COVID move lately fueling that move. Plus, airlines are getting bullish, actually, despite rising jet fuel prices. JetBlue, Southwest, United, all boosting their outlook on signs of that travel rebound. We're going to talk about that. And then there's this. No, it's not April 1st. AMC is... the movie theater chain, yeah, they are investing in a gold and silver mine in Nevada. Nevada? Nevada.
Nevada.
Yeah. CEO Adam Aron
really
joins
think the
us.
Pronunciation of the state.
He's going to join us at the end of the show to talk about why they wanted to own a gold and silver mine.
Well, it's time.
It's time.
It's just time. It's like Arnold.
It's time for what? To own a gold and silver mine.
I mean, David, you know, I'm
exhibition business.
I think I remember a major industrial that bought a big TV business.
Yes, I do too, and owned it for quite some time.
Yeah,
with great results as well.
General Electric bought RCA. I remember when it happened. Gary Bolter, great analyst at Goldman, said to me, "He says, Jim, synergy, not."
Let's get back to the
Indiana
broader market.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, weren't they after gold? I mean, there've been so many. Treasure Sierra Madre.
Yes.
That is all about gold.
All about gold.
So let's stay focused before we criticize.
We will. We'll give you the whole backstory on this as well, but we will talk to Mr. Aron towards the end of the show. All right, let's talk about the market right now, though.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at this note from J.P. Morgan, Jim. Geopolitical risks intensified over the last month. Listen, you know, but let's remember the global economy was on track to accelerate sharply on reopening from the Omicron wave, factory output surging, inventories lean, mobility and the services sector rebounding. And they say this morning, despite the current tumultuous conditions, we believe a lot of risk is already priced in. Sentiment is depressed and investor positioning is low. We would add to risk with a medium term horizon.
Okay, so the last words are the easy out, medium term. So let's say it goes down 3 more weeks. Well, David, that's not the medium term yet. The outs on things like that disturb me. I mean, is it time and the negativity is here? Or do you have to wait? Because one thing we've learned, David, is that in a few weeks' time, you can destroy a lot of capital. So it's absolutely fine to say, listen, over intermediate. Look, I've been working on GE.
Okay.
David, I think when this deal's done and it's split up, it's going to be good.
But that's a long time from
now. Thank you! Like when Raytheon merged with United Technologies. I said, oh, really, Otis Elevator? I mean, you're like kidding me? Turnby's terrific.
Right, and Carrier, they both. But that took a very long time to occur as well.
But
the GE split is years in the making until there are actually three separate companies.
I'm saying that I like that kind of call more than I like, listen, it's de-risked.
Mm-hmm.
Was Toast de-risked? You're toast if you bought it. Was GoodRx de-risked? You need a doctor if you bought it. I can go over so many of the NASDAQ names. David, is it time to buy Joby?
I don't know. No, it will maybe potentially not never be time to buy some of those names.
No, but that's my point, is that people have lost fortunes in Rent the Runway.
I know, but
that
we have seen a lot of odd moves lately in stocks that would indicate sort of that de-risking you're talking about.
Whether it's shares
of Paramount yesterday surging because somebody was clearly covering a short position.
That had nothing to do with underlying fundamentals.
Or whether it was other names getting crushed because people were finally giving up.
I don't know how much of that is nuclear war.
Zero.
Do you think the existential crisis is complete? Especially from people who are jealous of their neighbors who had fallout shelters, isn't back. I mean, I think that the best thing that's happening in the war is that they're sending leaders of the West
into Kyiv.
So you have to think that maybe the great Putin now attacks other cities, Kharkiv.
What's the point you're trying to make here?
My point is that the negativity is based in reality.
Okay.
And if it's based in reality, then you've got to be sure that what you buy. There have been several notes today about Nike, okay, because Nike reports soon. And I think Nike is a terrific company. It has large China exposure. Nike's been a terrific company from 179 down to 117. Do you want to say that Nike is so terrific now at 117 and you want to buy it?
All right.
Or do you want to see the quarter?
I start to think that the risk has been overpronounced. Something good might happen. Who knows?
Putin might back off.
It's possible.
Well,
that seems unlikely from a percentage basis of all the outcomes right now, unfortunately,
that would be the case.
But if that were to happen, obviously, we know that that would be a very strong day, if not
period, for the market. Aleppo. No one wanted to save Syria. They're not going to save the
But when this
we
guy
know that Grosk,
at,
no one knew it was and it was in Russia.
J.P. Morgan says, we'd add to risk medium-term horizon. Why not start doing it now,
okay,
slowly
the
over
reason,
time?
Okay, so that's a great question. And the answer is the vast majority of our readers, if they bought our viewers, if they bought Nike at 115 and it goes to 100, you know what they say? Don't worry, it's the medium term. No, they say, those two knuckleheads.
Don't include me in this.
This knucklehead.
Thank you.
Decided to stick his neck out. Now, I do believe that there are stocks that are so-called de-risked, but I need a catalyst. Like, just because a stock has gone down does not mean it's time for it to go up. There are a lot of companies. I had Marvell on last night, MRVM.
Yes.
This is right now, better even than the previous quarter, right now. We're talking about sequential gains.
But don't you think that, therefore, that reflects the broad sense of negative sentiment
right now? I like Marvell, and I think it should be bought.
You do?
Yes, because this quarter is even better than last quarter. I'm looking for earnings to be better for some companies. The companies we've been talking, Nike's earnings aren't better, for heaven's sake. They're worse. Once they're worse, and everyone knows it, and there's hope that they might get better.
Yeah.
That's medium term.
All right, so what is it going to take for you to feel more positive and or
more
your
companies
belief
that are doing
that,
well
that investors will then become more
companies that are doing well. Right now.
Or is it going to have to be some sort of change?
Well,
in
we need
Russia's
time. We need Russia to play out. We just have to hope. I mean, there's a lot of stories about how Russia, if they're going to go bankrupt, what happens? And then there's military tactics that a Michael Gordon, who's a fantastic military writer, Royalist Brooks Bernard trainer, would say, wait a second, Jim, how does it work? They just bomb and they and they
meanwhile, the prospect
fire artillery.
Of Russia being a failed state is not exactly reassuring either. It's one thing when Venezuela is. It's another when the failed state has 4,000 or 5,000 thousands of nuclear weapons.
Right. So you have to add up the negatives. And then you have to decide whether the negatives are indeed reflected in stocks. And I think, and I want to throw in even a death cross, which I know is something that you're not for me. It's a 50-year, 200-year.
You know I'm not.
The technicals are very bad.
Okay.
Russia, we have no conclusion.
Okay.
China seems to get worse by the day.
Yes.
But we're good.
Yes.
When does that matter? Joe, we have a, I'm going to
How long can we stay good? When Europe is not good,
Europe's worried about.
When rates are going up.
No.
But I got a good one for you. Oil prices are coming down.
Oil prices, and that's where you want to buy. Because the oil companies have de-risked themselves by giving you giant dividends. I think that what we're looking for are accidental high yielders. I don't like the stock of Kimberly-Clark.
Wait, what? Can I just come back to this? Because you know this area pretty well. You spend a lot of time in it.
Yeah, I do.
What's going on here?
Well, China is in lockdown, and they're a big energy user, and they won't be using as much energy when they're in lockdown. Hey, let me just give it. Can I be chauvinistic and jingoistic for a second and xenophobic?
Sure.
All right.
Do them all.
I'm giving everybody all the SAT words they're ever going to need. But now you can do it at home with using Google, right?
Yes,
it doesn't matter. We are, when I say that we're doing better than everybody else, energy in Europe is ridiculously big.
Yes.
Right? We've got that going for us.
Yes.
We have strong, we are a strong, balanced government, okay? And now when it gets, I want to be a jingoist.
Sure.
And what do we have? We have great technology.
We do.
What kind of half-baked vaccines do they have in China that you can vaccinate everybody and then you can have a major wave?
Well, we've had major waves here, too, although I can't speak to the effectiveness of their vaccine.
Florida had a major wave.
mRNA-based vaccine.
But you know what I'm saying, that they obviously are dealing with an inferior product, and they're no longer, they're obviously not saying that it's pandemic there, it's epidemic here. Now, the head of CDC told my doctor the other day on CBS that we have no ability to be able to compile data. So that's why we're using like Israeli data. So we're certainly not first world when it comes to.
No.
But
all right,
David,
back to China.
Do you not say that Pfizer
around,
and Moderna.
But we're getting
we're
to
jumping
everything.
Around because
we're
the world's jumping around.
So we
what do you
want
to just talk about, Brady? Free agency?
New income.
We are jumping. This is not ESPN, David. We're here. We're there. We're here. We're this. Because the market's that.
It is.
I got a new one for you.
Please.
Do you know
you got a gold
that business
mine for
in Poland
somewhere?
Is down big?
Who?
Poland.
What about Poland?
It's down big business. Why? Because so many Polish people have gone to work, going to help in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And others have taken in 4, 5, 6 people.
Yes.
And so Poland's business is hurt. I mean, I'm just saying.
Because there's a refugee crisis as a result of the Russian invasion.
The refugee crisis is going to be the worst.
Million and a half people going into Poland.
It's going to rival World War II. These people are going to have nothing to eat. Russia would just as soon starve them like they starved Grozny. They starved Grozny. They starved Chechnya. They just starved it. I mean, don't you think when they circle these cities, their goal is to starve the cities? They were in Leningrad, for heaven's sake, on the other side. I'm just saying that when I mention all these far-flung things, David, it's very hard to try to figure out whether now is the time to buy JBL.
On that note, I think it's a good time to transition to what's been going on in Ukraine, particularly, obviously.
Are we like going away from our programs at the
with
thing?
The shilling. Yeah, we're going to go to our NBC News correspondent on the ground there, Ali Aruzi, and get the latest from him as we have every morning. Ali.
Hi, good morning, guys. Yeah, well, there has been a sustained, relentless bombing overnight and early hours in the morning into Kyiv last night. And in the early hours, they bombed at least 2 residential buildings. There are reports that 2 people have been killed in those attacks. So the campaign of terror on civilians is relentless there. And also the besieged city of Mariupol continues to be pounded by Russian troops, but at least some good news. There was a convoy of about 2,000 people that managed to get out of Mariupol, but there is still a massive humanitarian convoy still waiting to get in. They want to get aid into Mariupol. They want to get buses into Mariupol to get some of those civilians out and deliver some really much needed humanitarian aid there, because people are living in apocalyptic conditions in Mariupol. They don't have any water, they don't have any food, they don't have any electricity, and in the night it goes well below freezing conditions there. So it's very, very tough conditions. But yesterday the Ukrainians and the Russians had some peace talks. The Ukrainians clearly laid out their position that they want an immediate end to the war. They want all Russian troops to leave the country immediately. They said that the Russians were listening to their demands a little more closely now. They're being more sensitive to the Ukrainian position. Those talks are meant to resume again today. They haven't as of yet. But the hope is that, you know, even if it doesn't bring an end to the war immediately, that it can open open up these humanitarian corridors. At the very least, they can agree to that. We're hearing that several more corridors are to be opened today, especially in hard-hit Sumy in the northeast of the country. They want to get a lot of people out of there that are also in very, very bad conditions there. But I have to tell you guys, the resilience of the Ukrainian people has been spectacular here. Nobody here feels defeated. There's a sense of community here amongst the people. And everybody you talk to here says they're going to dig in right till the end. I spoke to one young woman yesterday. I asked her, are you worried if the Russians are going to overtake this country? She said, the only way they're going to take our country is if they kill us all.
Wow. Ollie, thank you. Ollie Aruzzi reporting for us from Lviv, as he has every morning.
To Chechnya in 1999, they said the only way they're going to take over that country.
Well, the Russians have stalled.
They're
shelling the heck out of everywhere.
Well,
they're creating an apocalyptic scene in Mariupol, but they have yet to take any of these major cities. It's 3 weeks.
In 2003, the United Nations called Grozny the most destroyed city on Earth. Between 5,000 and 8,000 civilians were killed by the Russians. Now, by the way, they were Russians. Remember, Chechnya was Russian.
Right.
So I'm saying that when you hear, what does the first thing he said? I mean, I used to cover homicide. Okay. Covered homicide for 2 years. He said two people get killed. Okay, I've covered mass homicides, unfortunately. I'm just saying that we've not seen nothing yet from the Russians unless they're stopped.
Well,
and by the way, they'd starve everybody.
What's going on in Mariupol is basically that
but that's,
that
but that's
playbook that
my
you're
point
describing.
Is that we can't
thousands
talk.
Thousands of people are potentially
they want,
already have been killed there.
They want people to die so that they can win. And they don't want their troops to go into the cities because they'll be killed. So why not demolish the cities? Is it possible? You have a madman running a country. Why isn't that possible? It's very hard to buy Nike.
It is. But we are going to continue, as we always do, to talk about the market as well.
We have to.
Yeah.
We can buy oil. We can buy drug stocks.
Right. When we come back, we're also going to take a look at the stay-at-home stocks. At least that was what we called them over the last couple of years. Netflix. Yep. Pandemic gains have been erased.
That's back to 2018, by the way.
Take a quick look at futures. We got about 14 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. We are looking for a higher open, and we are right back after this.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
10-year note yield well above 2% now. In fact, I think we'd seen levels we hadn't seen in at least a few years when we were at 2.14 earlier in the session. We'll keep a close eye on that, of course. We've got the Fed meeting starting today.
I'm going to offer a solution to what's happening.
And Jim's going to have a solution, whatever that means, to what's happening. Maybe he'll even give it to us on his mad dad.
I will.
Coming up next.
You seek the key. But first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Welcome back. 8 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. Let's get to a mad dash. Yesterday, a very good day for Moderna shares, by the way, Jim.
And I want to, I know that I can be, let's say, negative Nancy, in honor of my sister. who watches the show, that I've offered nothing constructive so far today. I've talked about all the things that could go wrong and why the market has not fully reflected them. What would happen if the president called Xi Jinping and said, Xi, listen to me. Maybe he doesn't do that. Previous president did that. We will trade you all the Moderna and Pfizer you need. Got a billion shots. If you say out loud that you will not help the Russians military. And then I got to tell you something. If I'm Putin, I'm scared. Because Putin's relying on taking all those natural gas, minerals that he had, everything, and saying, listen, China, we need your help. China, you can have Rosneft for all we care. But if we could just make a darn deal with China, instead of just every day just saying, oh, woe is me, we've got what they need more than anybody else in the world. We have Pfizer and Moderna. We'll give it to them in return for all they have to say is, we will not help them militarily. There, I'm constructive. All of you people who think I'm not constructive, I've just been constructive. I've offered something better than what Linsky's offered, which, hey, CDC's not allowed to get data, better than anyone's offer, okay? It's a straightforward transaction. Two of the greatest companies we have in America, Pfizer, Moderna, give them all they need, and let's go home.
Not going to happen.
Why?
Because it's just not.
Why? Because my $500 unrealistic. Billion chance.
Chinese probably wouldn't even want it. They would be insulted in some fashion. They think their vaccine is working. I don't know. Well, there's a million reasons why it's not going to happen.
There's a billion two people who are obviously demonstrating that this thing may not work.
But that said, to the extent that we can influence China to vocally
humanitarian aid.
Revoke their support for Russia would be very significant.
That's the big isolation. That's it.
Yeah.
David, the isolation is Putin doesn't get China. It's not Putin in Poland and Putin in Moldova. It's not Romania. It's not France. It's China. We have what China needs. We have it. Let's make a deal. I'm not talking Monty Hall.
Why are these shares up so much?
Moderna?
Yeah.
There's a deal, I guess.
The deal, it's not going to happen. All right, we got an opening bell a few minutes away. By the way, remember, you can catch this incredible conversation anytime, anywhere.
Don't do that.
Listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street.
We're trying to make sense of things.
Yeah, opening bell podcast. I got Monty Hall over here. He's going to make a deal. Shares of United, Southwest, and JetBlue, you can see, all moving higher this morning. Those airlines raising revenue guidance. They're saying that air travel is rebounding from, of course, the earlier slump that was induced by the spread of the Omicron variant earlier this year. All the numbers looking good here in this country, it would seem, although you still get sometimes reports of outbreaks here and there, Jim. But nothing like what is occurring in China, thankfully, here. And even deaths finally coming down substantially as well in the country.
Right. I remember I said that the United States is very strong. That includes the consumer. On the enterprise level, a lot of the enterprises obviously have a lot to do with Europe. The American consumer's balance sheet is incredible. Now, we didn't mention PPI. Obviously, you could say, well, the Fed is going to crimp that balance sheet. I think you and I both know that can't happen for a long time. It has to go up substantially, because if you look at where the consumer was at 1%, 2%, 3%, it's pretty strong. But this is a terrific sign the airlines can raise. And I think it's a sign that people are traveling on the
they
move.
Are.
And
people
that
are on the move. I mean, yes.
And by the way, Steve Squeery, who really is terrific.
Steve Squeery from American Express. You were very positive on that yesterday.
He's got a new theory, which is that people may have to travel, business travel, more than ever, because their own companies, because they're in Bozeman, all right?
Yeah.
The company's located in San Francisco. Well, they got to go from Bozeman to San Francisco pretty regularly. They never had to go anywhere before except for by car. Or, this is from the head of American Express. This right. is not some cockamamie Moderna
they have to be in the
solution.
Office, right, 3 days out of every 10.
You know why I had this? Because I said that David Faber was very skeptical about business travel. And he said, you tell him about intercompany business travel.
I'm still skeptical. Yeah, I don't know that's going to make up for the lack of people going to meetings they might once have gone to that were an hour long or halfway around the world. By the way, they go first class, so that would be a high-margin trip. There's the.
You say you. You know, look, wait, you, wait, you.
All right, let me get to the opening bell. Okay, the real-time exchange is fixed. Yesterday it wasn't working. We don't know why. It's a mystery. You can see a lot more green on it. So here at the big board, REX shares and BMO Capital Markets celebrating the listings of two oil and gas exploration and production ETNs. It says ends here. At the NASDAQ, Simmons First National, it's a Mid-South-based financial holding company.
Can we just get something off my chest before we get started?
Start talking.
Stop bragging on Twitter about how quickly you do Wordle. It intimidates most of the country.
I don't ever do Wordle ever. You got the wrong guy.
Oh, okay, let's skip that. Okay. Let's talk about stay at home.
Yes.
Let's talk about Netflix.
Yes.
There are three big pieces about Netflix today.
Yes, there it's are. Kind so of a, I'm reading the Moffitt Nathanson piece right now.
TAM.
So I'm wondering, what is the total addressable market for Netflix?
Who is Netflix? What is she, to misquote Shakespeare? I don't know what to make of these three pieces other than the fact that Netflix is not as popular a stock, since it's lost all its. Geez, why did you fly? I was going to say that.
Yeah, it's lost all its gains, as for the most part has AMC, which we'll talk about in a bit. But let's,
Peloton.
More of these stay-at-home plays, whether it's Peloton, we know there. And we talked about, by the way, Foley and those margin loans, and he's been selling stuff, and Goldman's been giving him more credit at Peloton. Obviously, you got a new CEO there. There's some of them. Roblox, Zoom. That's not even including DocuSign
or Teladoc. Look at those declines. That's real people's money.
Yes.
Those I mean, if you look at Zoom,
declines.
Okay, Zoom is, by the way, Zoom is making a lot, but the multiple in Zoom is incredibly low.
And those are from the highs, the absolute highs. Let's just make that clear.
Well, they look like Alibaba. You know, Charlie.
But I do remember when like Zoom was over $100 billion market cap company, it's now below $30
billion. Well, can I say there's a Microsoft Teams, Cisco WebEx,
yes.
Inability to expand beyond Zoom. Failure to close the Five9 deal, make it so that they do have their own contact call center. It's a very challenged space. Now that said, David, they have so much cash,
mm-hmm.
They can do something. They can do something in sports. I would propose that they do gaming, set up gaming at home. I play your house. We watch us with a split screen on the sport.
Interesting.
Interesting. I think it's a $1 billion idea.
Could be.
It to two people.
Could be. You come up with them all the time, but somehow people don't seem to be listening.
They want to hurt my feelings. It's interesting that Apple's up.
Yes, Apple.
That could be
up.
Because the J-bill. Let's talk about this for a second.
Sure.
Guy sticks his neck out and recommends J-bill, which happens to be a huge, more than 20% supplier.
Yep.
And when you do that, it's a good analyst, Jim Suva. That made me think, wow. He's getting a little bullish on Apple. Meanwhile, the level of bearishness on Apple rivals very few.
It does, but it's down 14.5% for the year, so it does outpace the decline of the S&P, which right now sits down about 11.6% for 2022.
Yeah.
Obviously, the NASDAQ down a lot more, almost 19% for the year, Jim. I'm seeing some signs of life here today, without a doubt.
Look, every day starts with hope eternal, and that's terrific. And there's very unlikely there'll be a lot of bombing today because you got three world leaders in Q. That's smart. You have Tesla up. That's been one that's been hurt by.
It has.
Whenever, you know, Elon Musk is an incredibly honest guy, and he said, listen, we've been hurt by some of these world costs.
Yes, the raw material costs for electric cars are rising,
but
rising fairly substantially. There's still supply chain issues to some extent, as you well know. And by the way, we talk about China and this lockdown. That's not going to help.
No, it's not. But there are other false worries. For instance, when I spoke to Matt Murphy last night, runs Marvell, which is a very, very good company that's involved with auto, involved with high performance computing. It's involved with 5G. He made a point that we're shadow boxing now against Neon. He says, remember we said, oh, Neon, Ukraine cut off Neon. The semiconductors dropped about 10% in 2 days. He says it's not a big concern for him. Auto remains very strong. High performance computing remains very strong. Remember, there's an undercurrent that e-commerce has slowed dramatically. I can't prove that.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself trying to prove negatives every day or disprove them. And I'm somewhat, like many people in this business, overwhelmed that there could be a new negative, the price of nickel. Well, hold it. Let's see. That's in windmills. No, actually, that's
nickel,
aluminum.
The price of titanium, the price of palladium.
Well, these are things
don't
that
forget
make
about
me-
your vanadium.
Vanadium's very strong. About your Vandalay Industries. Don't look there. There's no symbol for that. I do think, David, what happens is you spend...
Let's talk about Alibaba.
Honest is doing well.
Let's talk about Alibaba for a moment because it's not doing well. I'm seeing that thing approach a $200 billion market value. That's a number it hasn't seen in a very long time. No. It is reflective overall of concerns in China. It's not just COVID and the lockdowns, which have spread there as a result of their continued zero COVID policy. It's also concerns that you were raising kind of in the mad dash within what you were sort of saying, which is, what's next there? If China does support Russia in a more significant way, will there somehow have to be sanctioning of the Chinese economy beyond our current trade war? You saw it yesterday in LVS, Las Vegas Sands, stock down sharply.
Then
you've also got the continued crackdown on technology companies, broadly speaking, in China, and then the delisting process under the Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act here in the United States. None of it adding up to much except for continued losses and perhaps some even forced selling from some owners of these stocks.
Okay, let's go to China because you know it. For 40 years, China needed our money. They needed to grow. Then they, in their own eyes, and perhaps many others, got more powerful, have a great balance sheet, doing better. Now, I think the Chinese stock market is showing they're not. But I think that they made a logical decision that the people who own the Alibabas and the JDs and the Tencent, that they've made enough and that they want to go back to their communist roots. They don't want two countries. They don't want the rich and the poor.
Look at that index. The KWEB is down 75%.
That's an index.
For the year.
That's an index of how the PRC, the People's Republic of China, and the Communist Party feel about rich people. David, it's a stock market. What are they doing with a stock market? Think Joe and Lai wanted a stock market?
They got a lot of stock markets.
Joe never wanted stocks.
They got one in Shanghai. They got
maybe Deng Xiaoping. Maybe they've changed the way he speaks to it. But, you know. All I'm saying is that the Chinese government has come out very much against capitalism, and you're looking at what happens when these adventurous freebooting managers come on our air and say, you know what, now's the time. Now's the time.
Finally, Jim, I do want to get to AMC.
Why can't we have an MSI index that excludes countries where people are killed recklessly and indifferently? Just an idea.
Paramount shares are up again. That was some sort of crazy short covering yesterday. Discovery's up, but I do want to get to AMC because they're buying 22% of a gold mine, a gold and silver mine.
Well, it's about time.
This, I can tell you, the background here is this guy Jason Mudrick. People may remember him. Of course, he runs a fairly large distressed firm that invests in distressed opportunities, not necessarily debt equity. And he got to know Adam Aron because they owned a lot of AMC debt, if you recall. And then he owns this mine, Highcroft. And he says, you know what? Stock has moved up recently, even though they were actually, my understanding is, kind of down to the last $8 million at Highcroft and might actually face a significant cash crunch, and says, I'd love my CEO to sort of understand an at-the-market offering because now our stock has moved up because of the recent interest in precious metals, and it might be an opportunity. And Adam Aron says, well, you know what? I'd actually just like to put some money in myself. And that's how you get to a deal. Apparently, Mr. Aron toured the mine yesterday. Kind of interesting, Jim.
I noticed that you're being not at all tongue-in-cheek.
No, I'm just telling you exactly what's happened. Highcroft's been around for quite some time, by the way. It does have a lot of potential ounces of gold and silver, but they need a new mill. That mill could cost as much as $1 billion. They're no longer processing nearly as much of what had been oxide ore. They've now got a lot more sulfide ore, which requires essentially a different process. And so they have found themselves in a position where they need to do that. Now they can sell a lot of stock at the market, as AMC did so effectively to raise that $1.8 billion, a small portion of which they're now investing in a gold mine.
Right. Well, someone asked me today, will the apes like this? Meaning that people, the residuals, the people are still in AMC. Oddly, I think they will. I think we're more in it initially for Batman,
right,
friends. But Sprott is an owner. Sprott's run a gold fund. And I have to tell you, when I map out where their gold mine is, it's not that far from the very successful Barrick mines that Mark Bristow's done a good job with.
No.
But the amount of capital
to the
running
a
gold mine.
Now these guys are out of danger. But we're going to talk to Adam Aron about that. So we'll get a lot more on that. By the way,
you know, I'm finding curious. Gold mine movie.
Yeah.
Curious?
No. It's weird. But remember, they also are in retail popcorn. Don't forget that.
I forgot. Never mind. That explains it.
What?
I said that explains it.
Does. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it does. all right. What else this morning has your attention? I haven't even asked you what the key to this market is. I see the banks are up.
All right. I'm going to give you the key to this market.
Exxon and Chevron down again.
You're not going to want it. But
and
I'm
actually,
give it to
Chevron
you.
Is down over 4.5%.
Chevron's yeah. Great. My Chevron's
I know you love Chevron. Higher, love
okay, I'm going to give you a key to this market. I'm going to shock you. Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson.
Look at this stock. Look at how the stock has done during this period. Think about the breakup and how good, even though it's going to be long term. Jay, and look at the balance sheet. This is what people are buying. This stock has the potential to go to 200 during this period. Now, why do I say this? Go to, from the period April 14 of 2000 to April 14 of 2001. J&J, Bristol Myers, Coca-Cola. Serious outperformance. That's what works. In an environment where you're having a NASDAQ crash, which is, of course, what we've had, J&J, fantastic, Coca-Cola, and I think very well ably led by Quincy. Bristol Myers starting to show signs of life, even though its earnings haven't come through. J&J, David, is going to 200. And
really?
I've been struggling to try to figure out how to get it in the charitable trust, but I own so many
drug
stocks.
Is it going to go to 150 before it goes to 200,
no.
Or is it going to go straight to 200?
David, I'm saying over the medium term,
yes.
People want to own drug stocks, medical device stocks. That's what they want, okay? And they want consumer products. And J&J is giving you all three. Gorski is going to be vindicated for this breakup. And I'm telling people, and I wish that my Chapel Trust owns it, that J&J, I was hoping it would come down a little,
right.
Represents the kind of stock
to
that
the point
people
you
want.
Made earlier on GE, which you also said longer, medium term, you like. These breakups take a very long time to occur. Neither of these companies reacted particularly positively,
no,
their stocks,
didn't.
On the announcement or since then.
No, they haven't.
Which was a bit different than what we'd seen when we kind of first introduced the shrink to grow concept.
No, you're right.
Number of years ago.
You're absolutely right. And I think that there are issues with GE and its power division. But remember, all three of those are industrial grade, power, healthcare, and aerospace. I think it's good. What has my eye on J&J is because people are looking back to what happened in April of 2000. Okay? Remember of April 2000, NASDAQ started going down and S&P started going up. What was so funny about what I just said?
Nothing. Nothing.
So I'm looking back. I look back into the April, May, June period of April 2000. David, it was the beginning of a tremendous period of outperformance for the drug stocks, of which I mentioned J&J because it's a big Dow stock. It's going high.
Jim,
I really like it. If it comes in, you got to buy J&J.
We were talking about AMC buying 22%
of
Hycroft. And we expected to have Adam Aron on the show to tell us about
it.
It's a very small company. You may
notice,
so small that we're not even showing you the stock price because the market cap is so small that we chose not to do that. It is up sharply, and they may now be in a position at the market to sell a lot of stock. Perhaps the apes will come in as well. That's all the hope here. But Adam Aron has told us, Jim, that given the volatility in Hycroft stock, that he doesn't feel comfortable making public comments right now. The legal team as well, perhaps also at Hycroft advising that. So he's no longer going to join us as we watch the shares move higher. Again, as I reported earlier, a lot of this owes to Mudrick Capital and Jason Mudrick, who kind of introduced Adam Aron to this potential opportunity, one that he never expected him to actually invest in, perhaps, initially.
I'm not done with this.
But they do know how to sort of navigate
this
at the market, and now they own 22%. The other big investor there is Sprott, who is a well-known investor in
gold,
silver and gold.
This is highly embarrassing.
Coming in, and so they do provide necessary liquidity to Hycroft, which now be able to also fund itself. And again, as you said, this mine is a well-known mine that has produced enormous quantities.
Yeah, but they need a lot of money, and we needed to know whether they're going to finance without some sort of continual offering. Yeah. We needed to know whether this. Why didn't he go into transportation, travel, leisure? Remember, he ran Adam Aron ran Vail.
He did.
He ran
$1.8 billion.
Norwegian Cruise.
He's got a lot more money to diversify.
Starwood. Yeah, but like, why doesn't he get into something and knows?
I don't know. But he does know that his valuation is not supported by the fundamentals of his business.
Remember when we had the empty chair in the presidential debate?
That was...
So, Adam, tell me, why do you prefer gold over Batman?
Wasn't that Clint Eastwood during the Republican National
Reagan?
Convention?
Adam, when I got you, I know that silver is very big here, but have you talked to Dr. Mark Bristow, who knows that area very well?
Jim's going to continue that conversation.
Adam,
with the
is this the beginning
Adam
of diversification
Aron.
That will eventually go into child's toys?
I'm going to tell you that you can get in on the investing club, Jim, as well. You can sign up. You can find out more at cnbc.com/join the club.
Or
just point your phone at the QR code on his head. That'll take you there. Before we head to break, let's give you a quick bond report. No, you can keep talking to Adam.
He's outraged. It's the lawyers.
We talked about treasuries earlier this morning.
I don't just sit here and take a beating. What am I, like Timex?
And the 2-year is still well above 2%, sort of that key level. First day of the Fed meeting, so 25 basis
getting
point
some
increase
on Metaverse
coming
here.
Soon.
I'm getting some response on Metaverse.
We're back after this.
How about robots?
Airlines, as you see it there, dominating the S&P gainers list this morning with United at the top, Delta and United going back and forth for the top ranking with an over 8% gain. This on very positive trends as people get back to flying. 23 minutes into trading. Let's get over to Bob Pisani now for a look at what's going on in the market. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Somewhat mixed open here, but the trend is continuing. So bank stocks have been up recently as rates have been a little higher. Tech has been mixed. Industrials have mixed. And most importantly, energy, metals and mining, essentially commodity-based stocks are no longer adding to the rally. They stopped going up essentially a week ago. The top was Monday, a week ago, essentially. Take a look at some of these big names that have had 20, 25, 30% moves up recently, no longer participating. Schlumberger, for example, Chevron, Halliburton in the energy complex, and the Mosaic and the CF Industries of the world. This is mostly in the materials complex. All of these stocks stopped going up a week ago. The problem here is there's only a limit to how far you can push the prices up. Yes, they're gushing cash. Yes, they're going to see their earnings estimates increase dramatically in the next few weeks as we get into earnings season. But there's only so far people will pay for these stocks. How many? So high on the prices. And remember, many of these energy companies have said they're going to be very disciplined in increasing production. That's a signal to people, investors. Production levels are not going to dramatically go to the upside. Another big problem with the market is Apple. Complete round trip now. 150 in November to about 180 a little while ago, and now essentially 150. That's a head and shoulders right there. And Apple, of course, was a big support for the market. A lot of people hiding out in that. And the fact that it's come all the way down and around, a big concern for the markets. Finally, everybody is bearish. I had the head of the American Association of Institutional Investors on yesterday talking about retail sentiment. We got the Global Fund Manager Survey. This is the opposite. This is big global fund managers from Merrill Lynch, Bank of America. Highest level of cash since April 2020. Optimism lowest since July 2008. Really? Global profit expectations dropping dramatically. And look at biggest risk. You'd think, of course, David, Ukraine is number one. This is the first time I've seen global recession as a major risk factor out there. Of course, that's now being talked about over the weekend rather dramatically, inflation number three there. And of course, as you know, David, these kinds of risk sentiment indicators are very good extremes, and they can be contrarian indicator. So the play now obviously would be, of course, short commodities and go long Europe. Obviously a bit of a risky play given this environment. Back to you.
That would be an interesting choice to make, of course, as you say, as recession calls start to rise, certainly for 2023. Bob, thank you.
Okay.
Let's get back to Jim here and get a last idea from you before we wrap up the show.
I just want to talk about why there is so much negativity. Take a stock like Hormel, which is really terrific. We know that it's a meat puppy. You know, sure enough, what happens? Goldman puts out a note saying you got to sell it because of the rising costs of all the inputs. So that's why it keeps being dangerous. The sentiment is absolutely so abysmal that you got to buy. But what you buy is so hard because we would normally think the consumer packaged goods stocks are
right.
good.
Right, Hormel, you think would be all, kind of an easy, right?
Yeah, I mean, spam, David. I have that in my fallout shelter.
Yeah.
I have pumpkin spam, man.
Which house do you have the fallout shelter in? Will you let me know where to go?
It's due west from here, 76 miles.
Oh, no, actually. That's not good jokes. All right, there's a look at Hormel. What do you got on the show tonight?
Okay, David, we have CrowdStrike, and again, we're going to talk about cybersecurity. But then we have a rare, very rare.
Oh, wow, Costco.
New CEO parent, Costco, Ron Vickers. Now, I got to
tell you,
that's
a great
Costco,
interview coming up.
David, is a stock you can buy in this environment because they save people a lot of money, and they eat a lot of the inflation. And they're very good. So I'm finding gems, okay, within the overall pastiche, if not mosaic, of this market.
There you go. J&J and Costco, I heard too.
Because I feel it's important to be constructive, and I keep going. I'm using a April 2001.
I remember that market. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hold it, just a sec. Adam, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, say goodbye to Adam
see
as
you
well.
Adam, see you.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.